Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministry. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. I am putting this sermon out early. Normally do it on Saturday. I'm doing it today's Friday. I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to a men's conference in Quitman, which is over by Ruston, and I'll be at a church on Sunday up there, so keep me in your prayers on that matter. That, you know, safe travel up there. So, yeah, about 2 hours, 2.5 hours drive. So I will be gone from this little spot in Vernon Parish all the way up to I don't even know what parish that is up there. So doing this early, but we're continuing our study here in on spiritual warfare. This is part 9. Yeah, part 9 is 9 parts, right? So I don't really know how long this this sermon series is going to go. We're part 9. We'll see. There's easily another 4 or 5 in this, and but the importance of this first, listen from part 1, and I know there's some redundancy in that, but part 1 to this part, I can't emphasize that a lot to be able to get the full impact. The goal of this overall compassing long sermon series is for you to understand spiritual warfare, right? And understand that we are in a spiritual war. Now, don't let those around you tell you otherwise, tell you that we are not. But we are in a spiritual war that's composed of battles, spiritual battles that we face every day. If you are walking a true Christian life, abiding in Christ, you will be uncomfortable in this life, and you are going to paint a target on your back that Satan is coming after. Because if you are a true child of God, if you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you're looking to be his hands and feet. And I preached a sermon, a series sermon a long time ago about Is there a difference between being a Christian and being a disciple? And the short answer is, and I know this is controversial and people will attack this immediately, there's, to me, no difference. And I go through scripture showing that. And one key thing here is, if you look at the word Christian or Christians, that's plural, you take those two, you see it 3 times referred in at least the King James Version. Now, I'm pretty sure it may be like that with all, you know, most of your translations. 3 times, you only see that word, or the single, the plural, combined. 3 times, that's it, guys. Think about that. But when you look at the word disciple and disciples, just guess how many times, and depending on your translation. Over 200 times. 200 plus, guys. Come on. The emphasis of words are important. God is pointing specifically the importance of disciple, of being a disciple. See, there is a separation here. People want to profess to know Christ and be a Christian, but then say, hey, we don't really want to be a disciple. You can't have one or the other. And I'm going to tell you, this is a controversial topic, because immediately people are going to say, oh, well, you're trying to preach work-based salvation. No, I'm not. I cling to the cross. We cannot save ourselves, right? Ephesians 2:8-10. And this is not, you know, I'm just saying to being a disciple, but Ephesians 2:8-10, right? For by grace are ye saved, and ye is in the King James, and I got a lot of King James memorized, but you say, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. See, salvation is a gift from God. And verse 9 says, and not of works, lest, or that's if any man, and that can refer to man or woman here, should boast, meaning salvation is a work of God in grace. And it's through our faith in the cross that we come. It's nothing that, in a sense of, we don't save ourselves. Jesus saves us. So I'm not preaching work-based salvation. There is nothing we can do. Because why? It tells us, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could do it, we would boast about it. But immediately you will see that camp that will accuse men like me of, just listen to them, guys. They give themselves away. Study God's word. They will quote 8 and 9, but they will leave out verse 10. Now, I don't know those people personally. I've listened to a lot of podcasts. I've listened, read a lot of books on it. And it comes down to always these guys are leaving out these verses for a reason. They're not, they are doing it purposely. But we don't leave verse 10 out. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, right? Unto good works, which God, right, had ordained. He has already mapped these out for us, that we should walk in them. For when we are saved, we have works. He calls us to become a disciple. Acts tells us, right? It says, my disciples were the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, that were Christian. They were first disciples before they became Christian. See, but we have this distortion, this distorted view today, that you can be a Christian and you can avoid being a disciple. The two goes together. I don't know who needed to hear that, but I want to just tell you, we are in a spiritual war. God has called us, if we are truly his children, to be soldiers in the army of God. And this is where spiritual warfare should come in. This should be something that we automatically are preparing ourselves every morning, depending on what you're doing. And the mornings are such an important time to they're new, they're refreshed. You just woke up to get our bearings. Spurgeon said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, 1 hour in the morning is more than 2-3 hours at night. And well, all are something, I'm paraphrasing, but I want to tell you, here's the thing, he's saying the morning is a very, it's fresh, you wake up. It's a good time to get your mind right. And why wouldn't you get your mind right with prayer and studying God's word? Why wouldn't you? Now, if you work a night shift or an evening shift, that is your morning. I want to tell you, a lot of our issues within our churches, especially here in America, is the laziness, the lackadaisical approach to God's word and through prayer. They could care less. They could care less about being a disciple. They just want their heaven, and the rest of the world can go to hell. If you are truly a child of God, you will not be okay with that. And I don't want to say, you will not hear these kind of messages preached in the pulpit, especially here in America. Majority of them will not preach on this. Why? They want to keep their jobs. They still want their fat bank accounts. They still want to live their life with all the pleasures they can, as being as popular as they can. I'm going to tell you, And God's about tired of it. He's about done with America, guys. If there's not truly a true repentance of coming to truly back to God's word, which I don't see it happening right now, and I pray that there is, where people really get serious about God's word, and that rolls into their workplace, it rolls into their families, it rolls in. But people get more excited about a football game. They will miss church on a dime. If the wind and rain is just blowing just right, they'll miss church. If a football game's playing, they miss church. They're going on a vacation, they miss church. Something just goes wrong with them, then they can't have time to pray. Something goes wrong, I don't have time to read my Bible. Something acceptable. When you look at how America is, we need to be pointing our fingers at ourselves. And I know that's rough, and people don't want to hear it, and that's why this ministry is called Wake America Church, and that's why I don't get invited to preach to many churches, because they don't want to hear this. They want to hear a comfortable message that keeps them. I'm going to tell you, these comfortable messages is why America is in the wreck it's in now, and all I see is getting worse and worse. So we that are truly preparing ourselves for spiritual war, battles every day. Amen to you, brother. Amen to you, sister. Get our minds right. So when we look at spiritual warfare, this is part 9. And we're going to look at Ephesians 6, verse 12. That's Ephesians 6, verse 12. And of course, if you're following this, you already know it's going to be verse 12. We went over verse 10 a few weeks ago. We went over verse 11 last week. And verse 12 is, and then, Lord willing, if nothing happens, I will get into verse 13 and get into some of the armor, the belt of truth. I haven't started working on that message yet. I've been reading on some things. I haven't typed anything up for it yet. But Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come to you, thanking you for this opportune, Lord, just getting to your word. Lord, I pray that you prepare our mind for war. You want soldiers. You want those that are truly all in. You know our hearts. You know where our allegiance lie. Some of us could be Hollywood actors and actresses that win Oscars for pretending, oh, our performance is so wonderful. In our mind it is. For one day when our life is called and we're looking at God, will you hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Will you hear those words, "Apart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you"? Oh, in those verses, it reflects on how many that will say, you will say that to, because they have been very good at pretending of being something they're not. For they look like something on Sunday, and they're something totally different throughout the week. Oh, Lord, you know who they are. You call us to walk in the light every day, Monday through Saturday. To be your hands and to be your feet. To be ministers of hope in the gospel. For we miss opportunities every day. Oh, let's not miss opportunities. And when we're reaching out there, we're actively engaging in the enemy's territory. When we're reaching this world with the gospel, Satan has these souls wrapped and through the Holy Spirit running through us with the fire of the Holy Spirit to go out there and to tell them that they can be rescued from the darkness that they're in and come to the light of Jesus Christ. For the enemy will come after us. That's just how it is. But you call us to endure the hardness of, like a soldier, dealing the hardness, preparing our mind, preparing our body every day as we walk out into this world to be a light. Lord, I pray, Lord, as these messages that it reaches, I know it will reach whoever it will need to reach, Lord, that some of these, I know these messages, majority will not recognize them, they will not care about them, they will shun them. But Lord, what will it take for America to, and her churches to wake up? Does America have to be totally ripped to pieces? Does her guts have to be shredded across, hemorrhaging? Does her name need to be removed? Oh, when I look at it, I believe that is what's going to come. For she is right on her sin. She is fat, and she could care less. Men like me are a nuisance. But oh, how the heretics fill their bellies up with the riches. People like Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, and Stanley. And the list goes on and on. Kenny Copeland. People just keep filling their bellies and they keep devouring. That is where we're at. Heretics like this. You tell us in the last days, men like this will write, they will, they're sheep and they're wolves and sheep, they're wolves in sheep clothing. And people will get mad and they will spit and they will sputter. And they will say, hey, quit calling these people out. We are supposed to warn. We are supposed to warn. We are supposed to be watchmen. For somebody is stepping in the middle of the road with a vehicle coming, wouldn't you scream and say, hey, get out of the road before that truck, that semi runs them over? Is it unloving yelling at them, say, hey, you're about to die? Hey, if you believe these heretics, ignore men of God truly trying to tell you the truth. Do you know the path that you're on? It's going to lead you straight to hell. We pray over them. We pray over the ones giving the false messages to. We pray over their souls, God. We don't want them to die in their sins. We do not want them to die and go to hell. We don't want nobody. We pray for their salvation. We pray for their redemption. We pray for a true repentance on their hearts. We know that you can do. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Ephesians 6:12. The first few words here is, for we wrestle. You know, when I think of the word wrestle, and maybe you guys can relate, I haven't watched wrestling events or wrestling matches on television in a long time. Maybe you have. Maybe you once were a wrestler in elementary, up to your junior high, to your high school, up to your college, so you kind of understand, you're kind of still into it. Maybe this rolled into you being maybe there is a pro wrestler on here that is still wrestling, right? Or maybe there's a wrestling coach that's teaching wrestling. I have never really wrestled. I used to grapple, which was, it was kind of like wrestling, and it was more of my mixed martial arts days when I used to compete. It's, you know, it's like wrestling. You know, you got holds and choke holds and arm locks and, you know. And then some of you guys were like, it's out. Man, I don't really care about wrestling. I could care less. And I get that. But maybe if we look beyond and, you know, wrestling is a sport, right? Maybe we can think of a sport that you might have played. Maybe football, baseball, softball, basketball, volleyball, track. And the list, of course, can go on and on. You may have been involved in these sports. Or maybe you just watched them on television for a while now. And most of us will agree that there is a level of preparation and training that comes along with all of these sports. And what I'm getting when I hear Paul here, he's saying, he's using that word wrestle here. And get this in the contents, he's writing this letter, right, to his, and they're reading it to the Ephesians and other churches, right? And we have it today and we're reading, but he's writing this letter in a prison cell. And he's wrestling. And, you know, some believe that Paul would have been very well known, or he would have seen the Roman Colosseum, and within the Roman Colosseum there were wrestling, and we, as some historians would conclude, that he probably went to the Colosseum a few times and watched wrestling matches. So he and his audience definitely would have. So he's relating to them. He's trying to convey a message. You see the wrestlers there? You see the wrestling? Well, we wrestle too, guys. We're in a wrestling match daily. But he says here, but it's not against flesh and blood. Meaning that those around us that we can physically see, right, that we can hear, they are truly not our enemy. I know that can get kind of hard to think about, and I struggle with that, because there's people, physical people in my life that drive me crazy. They stir my flesh up more than anything I can think of. But I have to try to get away from and realize that I am not wrestling with them, their flesh and blood. I'm actually wrestling with Satan and his demons. They are pulling the strings of these people. They're influencing their minds, they're influencing their body to cause us anguish. Suffering. They're challenging us. They're challenging us on being Christ-like, I promise you, because Jonathan Ritter can get really in the flesh. I want to tell you, I have Viking blood. My lineage goes back to Vikings, so I can get stirred up. And I have knights on my, I think it's on my mom's side, there's Viking blood. On my daddy's side, so we were from the knights, like horses and swords and everything. So it's easy to stir them two combinations. It's easy to get my blood boiling. And I'm more of a fighter than a flight. Always been that way. When I see a issue, I'm ready to fight. I don't want to back down. And you know, that's always not a good thing. It's a good thing when you're fighting for Jesus, though. Like, if you're out there and you're in spiritual battle and you're relentless and you're going to charge that hill for and the message that God has given you, and there's nothing, even the threat of death will not stop you. That's a good quality to have. But if you're in the flesh and you really, and the devil's influencing somebody around you, and you just want to knock them out, not necessarily a good thing. Not really a good thing at all. I'm just being real, you know. And maybe you guys can relate to one level or the other. I don't pretend to be something I'm not. Got too many preachers out there doing that right now. And once again, they can win an Oscar for their fakeness. But all that will come to an end one day when time, and it's wrapping up real quick, it's going to get real for them. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So what do we wrestle against? Paul tells us. Against principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul is telling us that Satan has an army. He has a structure. Don't think Satan is not prepared. And don't think Satan hasn't been learning and training. Just think about ever since the garden on humanity. The deception that he laid out for Eve. Adam was just an open rebellion. He knew better. He did it anyway. He's been doing it ever since then. Just think about every war. Just think about just here in America, every war that has physical war that has taken place. I think of the Civil War. I don't know if they teach that in schools anymore. You got the Civil War, you got the Revolution War, the American Revolution War, you got World War I, World War II, and sometime in the future, World War III, if we're not already in it, is going to happen. Satan has seen all of that. He's been around all that. He understands military structure and how effective it is. See, he is not all-knowing. And he is not all-powerful. And he cannot be everywhere at one time. But he knows how to use what he has. At his disposal, he uses this structure, this military kind of structure, this principalities, he's against the and then the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I'm just going to give you a really compressed breakdown of these four areas, because I don't want to get too deep into this, and I promise you I could, but the key is I want you to understand that Satan is prepared and Satan does train. He's been training for a long time and he knows how to set the right traps up for you and me. He knows human psychology like the back of his hand. Well, literally, probably don't have a hand, but I'm using that figuratively speaking. So when we look at principalities, what comes to mind? A principality simply is a territory, a jurisdiction of a prince. Simply, these are top-ranking demonic beings that operate on a national level to influence governments and nations. Who is their leader, their top leader? Satan. So you have Satan up top, and he is delegated these principalities, these top-ranking demonic beings to operate on a national level to influence the government nation. When you look at America's government, now they are still people in the government that are trying to point it in the right direction, a nation that's under God. But when you look at the majority of them, where there are, all you see is what we would call evil. When you look at abortion and how there's people, and if you look at it today, our president and vice president, they believe in killing children, killing babies. They even believe in when they're born, if they have some type supposedly defect, to put them in a room and let them die. Now, if that's not evil, then what is? If you can justify murder like that, on that level, then and you're okay with that, there's something Satan has your mind, guys. That right there is demonic. Don't tell me there's not principalities influencing these guys. And then you look at the powers, right? And the rulers of darkness of this world that is spreading out. Now you have these top-ranking demons, and now they're giving these orders to these powers and these rulers of darkness of the world. Rulers of darkness. These two categories are just demons that are at work in the social, political, and cultural system of the world. Social, political, and cultural. That you look at them combined, they're spreading out. Now, I'm not going to go too deep into this, but I want you to see this branch of power. And then you look at the spiritual wickedness in high places, which leads to us in our daily life. These demons are around us. They are sitting up traps all around us for us to step in. And these demons, of course, they report to the powers and the rulers of darkness. And the powers and ruler of darknesses of the world, they report to the principalities, and the principalities report to Satan. And that's how Satan understands. I want to tell you, if you want to see ultimate communication on a level that the business world can't even grasp, the communication that Satan has in place, it's very efficient, very effective. I want to tell you, I've seen Satan hands, and I see you hands again, I'm just using it figuratively, his work in families. I've seen him rip families apart. I could speak, when I was a kid, I didn't realize it until I got older, and not truly until I started studying deeply on spiritual warfare, what was going on. I reflect back on when I was a child and in my teenager years, and this man, I ain't going to use his name, but he's gone to see the Lord. He killed himself, but man was talented. He could preach, he could teach, he could play the piano, he could play the guitar. But Satan came into the family and destroyed the man. He lost hope. He left the church. Don't tell me Satan he isn't good at his job. I don't know how, you know, I can almost guarantee you that the churches they were at, and I remember as a kid, there were scandals left and right, and there's scandals now left and right in churches. I can almost guarantee you, and when I got older, I had questions about things, and I went to ask the supposedly elders at churches to explain them, and they didn't even know how to explain simple stuff but spiritual warfare and other things. And I realized, what's the point of church? And this led me down a very dark path where I got highly engaged in darkness. Man, Satan is no joke, guys. John 10:10, I've quoted this, says, "The thief comes not but for what? To steal, to kill, and destroy." Does any of those terms sound positive? Satan wants to come into your life. I've seen him come into people's life before. He wants to come into your family's life so he can steal your family from you. Oh, man. Out there, don't let your job be your God. Don't let your job take first priority of your life. Oh, how we should be pouring into our family with God's word. Oh, how we should be praying for our family. Are you? You come home, you tired. You don't want to talk with your kids how school was. You don't want to talk about them, did you tell anybody about Jesus? Did you open your Bible today? You can say, hey, I opened my Bible today and I was reading this and I just want to share this with you. This is how God was ministering to me today. Share that with our kids. See, when you make your work your God, then your kids see that. Now I'm a product of that. I see my dad, he provided for the family, but I see he made his job his God. I'm a product of a destroyed family because of Satan. Don't tell me he ain't real and that he ain't deadly. He is a thief, guys. He will kill and he will steal your family in a heartbeat. He will take how many of your kids today that you look and now they're all on their own, that they are now living away from God. They could care less. Some of them could be atheists. Some of them be now in demonic activities. He will steal, he will kill, and he will destroy. But I want to tell you, our God, he says in that second part of that of that verse 10:10, he says, this is Jesus Christ speaking. He said, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I want to tell you, when you put Jesus Christ at the center of your family, truly at the center of your family, you stop making other things priorities over your life with your kids and ministering through the scriptures and to praying with them at night and getting them involved in church activities. Find you a good church. A good God-believing, Bible-preaching church. Not a church that is catering to this world, that is conforming to this world, that is scared to preach the gospel to this world, to preach about sin and how it's devastating, to preach on there is a hell and that is hot and God does not want nobody to go there. For we know that God sent His Son, that nobody would have to perish. No one. That heaven is for us if we come to Him and we truly believe. That is faith in Him, what He has done, and there is a heart transplant in our heart, and that we step into that light, and it don't stop there. Because we stepped into the light, now we are disciples. We tell our kids there is no difference between a Christian and a disciple. And we go through them scriptures on what it means to be a disciple. The dying daily. The crucifying yourself. And I pray that you do that. When your kids get older and they leave. And they go out into this world. They need to have a solid foundation. For if their foundation is cracked before they even step out in this world, Satan don't need much opportunity. And he don't need much opportunity to go into one's life and destroy it. And yeah, we all their life's messy. I get that. And maybe, you know, when you were raising your kids, that you weren't, you know, in church and you were not trying to read your Bible, you were not trying to pray. But I want to tell you, you know, you are now trying to do that. And even though they are off over there in left field, I promise you, God still hears your prayer and bring them to him daily in prayer, that God will move in their life, that God will soften their hearts, that their eyes will be open to the truth of the gospel. Oh, we can still pray because that is powerful. There is power in prayer. I promise you. But Jesus Christ, he's came to give us life. To shine that brightness in our hearts to this world. And our enemy's real. So, we need to look at 1 Peter 5:8. Because our enemy's real, what we need to be, we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, my adversary, the devil, Satan, as a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour, he is a roaring lion knowing that his time is limited and he wants to see how many people that he can destroy, that he can devour, that he can rip to pieces. Oh, he's a roaring lion. Peter tells us to be sober and to be vigilant. Are you being sober and are you being vigilant in your life? Let me put this in another way. What do you allow to control you more during your day? How much time do you spend reading and studying God's Word? How much time do you spend in prayer? If you're struggling with these areas of your life, Satan got you right where he wants you. You're up on the ropes. You're getting hammered by the blows of Satan. For our time with Christ is most precious time that we spend every day. More precious than hitting that 8 to 5, that job clock. I want to give you a little bit more. If that wasn't convicting, and I am a very convicting preacher because the Holy Spirit pours out in me to tell these convicting things. Why? Because majority of churches and the pastors are sold out because they do not want to tell the congregation on what they want to hear, because or what they what they're telling them what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. Because if they tell them what they need to hear, they wouldn't be in the pulpits. I'll tell you. That's happening in most churches in America. They are not looking for men of God that will stand up and tell them as it is. They want to hear a man that will tell them what they want to hear. But here I want to tell you, if you're working 8 hours a day, you should be at least giving Jesus Christ 8 hours of your day too. Oh, preacher man, that is extreme. If you really come home after a day of work, you can sit there and watch 2 to 3 hours of television, then praying for 2 to 3 hours or studying God's Word, you got problems. You're not preparing. You're not training as God's words tells us to do. You're not being sober. You're not being vigilant. You're not drawing near to Him. And you hear this and you're starting to resist it. Oh, you're resisting because Satan's got you right where you want. If you're resisting this, I will tell you, you need to rebuke that spirit that's on your life and recognize that you are not being sober. You're not being vigilant. And I promise you, Satan has a few demons operating in your area. Why? Because you prefer to let this world, the God of this world, Satan, to influence your mind. 2 Timothy 2, 3-4 says, though therefore endure hardness. Endure it, brother. Endure it, sister. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, endure it. No man that war in tangle himself with the affairs of this world, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. Oh, how we war with the affairs of this life. We let Satan wrap the affairs of this life around us, and we don't realize that he has it wrapped around us, that we can't even think straight, that we're struggling to be able to study God's word and to pray. Matthew 6:21 says, Where your treasure is, there is your heart will be also. Where is your heart? Is it beating for the things of this world, or is it beating things for God? Do you seek a life where you're eating and breathing in God's word? Your prayer and your worship is running through your body, through your blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ is just pouring through you. Oh, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is yearning through you. Oh, I pray that you are. For you cannot serve two masters right. For you will hate one and love the other. Satan wants to believe you, want you to believe that you can do both. That you can serve this world and that you can still serve God. But the word of God says otherwise in Matthew. You will hate one and you will love the other. If you want to conform to this world, you want to compromise to this world, you are serving this world, you are serving Satan, and you're not serving the true God. I promise you a time is coming in this world where you will have to make a choice, and that choice will cost you something. It will cost you your uncomfortableness. You may take this as a madman. You jot it down. America's on her last legs. Not saying God can't turn it around. But as I see now, we're past that danger zone. It's all downhill from here. And downhill, I mean the true church of God is declining. And the Antichrist system, the one world religion, one world government, will not be too hard to implement. But I pray that you choose Jesus Christ, regardless of what cost it may cost you. I pray that you stand on that rock, unashamed. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Are you unashamed of the gospel? You're at work, somebody, you're at work and you're scared to say the word Jesus Christ. You're ashamed of the gospel. Oh, that ain't the right place. It's always the right place to talk about Jesus. Oh, you're just extreme. Yes, I'm extreme. Guess who else was? Jesus Christ. Guess who else was? Paul. Guess who else was? Peter. Guess who else? Daniel. The list goes on and on. They were extreme. They would be kicked out of most of the churches today. Jesus Christ physically will walk into the church. He don't have to because he has his messages. That has his messengers with the Holy Spirit. But if Jesus Christ was physically in body and he preached what the little bit of sermons that we have in churches, he would be kicked out. He would be spit on. Oh, don't listen to him. He is full of hate. He don't know God's word. It's all about love, love, love. He wants me to be happy. He wants me to be a Christian homosexual. He wants me to be a Christian witch. He wants me to be this unfaithful man in a marriage cheating on my wife, or the same with a woman who's cheating on her husband. He's okay with my adultery. He's okay with my fornication. He's okay with my lying spirit. Oh, you have let the enemy, Satan, which is prepared and is highly prepared and been training to wrap all the lies around your mind. You have not been preparing and you have not been training. For this life does not matter unless Jesus is at the center of it. And when he's at the center, he will break those lies the enemy has placed for you. I'm going to listen to Philippians 3, 4 through 9. Says here, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul's saying, I can boast more than most when it comes to the things of this life. And here's a few things he can boast of. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee. He knew the law like the back of his hand. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous which is in the law, blameless. But here is what he says. But what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Everything that I've gained physically on this earth, I count loss, except for Christ. Verse 8 says, yea, doubtless I count all things, but loss for the excellence of knowledge of Christ. Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, but I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ. The righteous which is of God by faith. Whew. We need more Pauls out there, right? Honestly, and this is controversial, and most of the churches in America could not handle a Paul. They're already too compromised, too lukewarm. They love their entertainment too much. They love their comfortable life. Oh, preacher man, give me that 30-minute sermon and let me go home. Oh, how we should be yearning for the preacher to preach all throughout the week. But I guarantee you, you will not hear many people within the church saying, you know, I wish the preacher would have preached a little bit longer that day. I don't live on a rock, guys. I go physically preach at churches. I know the attitude. I know I don't get called back to preach at a lot of churches I'm invited to. I don't preach hate. I preach God's word. And I can tell you here in America, there's not a hunger like it should be for God's word. And you don't get mad, you don't get angry, and you say, oh, my church is not like that. How many services do they have during a week? How many services do you go during the week? Oh, I just go Sunday morning. I can't do night. Oh, Wednesday, just don't work for me. I'm working. Yeah, Satan got you right where you're at. Now, if you can't physically go to a church, God understands. And he can understand if you can't find a church preaching God's word. And that defaults to the point where, thank God for social media then. Thank God for this website. It's not the same thing, but, you know, physically meeting with somebody. To me, physically meeting with people, I draw more strength that way. I'm going to a men conference Saturday night. I'm going to a physical church Sunday. I draw strength. But God understands if you can't, as time grows, more churches will compromise and compromise and compromise. I promise you. One of the key compromises is going to be a really simple one to find. If you're in a church, ask the preacher, how does he view homosexuality? He starts stuttering and trying to be political. You already know there's issues. God's word says he created man and woman, male and female, and they are going to be one. God put marriage between a man and a woman. Thus says God's word. Period. Oh, I don't like that. Well, you don't like God's word then. You're operating in the spirit of Antichrist. That's God's word. It says it. It's true. God does not approve of man marrying a man and a woman marrying a woman, regardless how the culture views it. For Paul, we'll agree. The word of God from Genesis to Revelations, we'll agree. We are in a spiritual war that's composed of battles every day. Remember, as we're wrapping this up, our key scripture here is Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the overall thrust of this is preparation and training. Emphasizing the first three words in our key scripture today was for we wrestle. And we talked about how wrestling is a sport. And Paul's in jail and he's wrestling. He's in prison. And he's wrestling. He's writing this letter, which is, to me, Ephesians 6:10. Always is a very powerful. It's one of those passages that we should have memorized. Because when we look at everything, we got to recognize we're not wrestling against that person that is causing us the issue. But we're wrestling with what is pulling his or her strings. That's the principalities. That's the powers. That's the rules of darkness of this world. Against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan has been doing this for a while, guys. And he knows exactly what he is doing. He's been doing this since the fall of humanity. He knows human psychology. He has multiple PhDs in psychology. And if you want to look at the physical war, he knows what causes physical war. He's seen it, every one of them. He understands military structure, and that's how he operates. He's highly prepared. He's highly ready. But we do not have to fall for his wickedness. We do not have to fall. And last week we looked at the wiles of the devil. We don't have to fall for his wiles. We don't have to be caught up in his traps. We do not have to wrestle in our own strength. But we wrestle in the strength of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that is the ultimate trainer. He guides and he directs us. He leads us to being sober and to be vigilant, right? We be sober and we be vigilant through the studying of God's Word. Through the reading of God's Word. Read it out loud. Memorize Scripture. Let your ear hear God's Word as you speak it out loud. There's power in God's Word. Is power in memorizing for God's Word. We should have over 100 verses easily memorized. More, I pray. We can look at things in our life that has challenged us, and we can have a verse just for that specific thing that has challenged us, and we can say the words of the Scripture and hear it. And there is power in God's Word. And we should be men and women of prayer. Our life should be soaked in prayer. Just like running outside, and we've got a lot of rain here in Louisiana, in my little area. But you run out in the rain, and you're out there for 1-2 minutes. You're drenched, you're soaked. That should be our prayer life. Every day, we should just be soaked and so wet with God's, with our prayer life, that when we do that, you know, we draw closer to Christ because we are talking to the one who holds everything. We're talking to the one who is more powerful than our enemy, Satan, his demons. Satan cannot do nothing. We have a man or a woman that has a flame in their life and saturating their life with the Word of God and prayer. He cannot do nothing. And that's not saying we're not going to go through anything. But when we are, we place it for where it is in the Scripture. And we leave it truly in God's hands. And when we truly leave it in God's hands, we do not pick it back up. For that is not leaving it in God's hands. Oh, I'm going to leave it in God's hands. But then you're picking it back up. You're not leaving it in God's hands. You're still in your hands. And if you do that, you will cause yourself so much anguish. Satan will whisper his little lies, or will use his demons to whisper the negative lies. That he's so good at doing. I pray, my prayer, whatever you're going through, life gets messy, I promise you. I'm not immune from it. I promise you I'm not. It's let up a little bit, thank God. Last 6 months been rough. On things. Yes, I got a little relief Anytime I preach these sermons like this, there's so much heaviness and tax on my mind. Keep me in your prayers, but I'm not immune from the tax. I'm not immune from family issues. Whatever you may be going through, the challenges that you may be facing with your family, with your work, with your friends, with your health, mental and emotional, finance. There is a comfort in truly giving it to God. Truly giving it and leaving it there. Knowing when we give it to God, we place it right where it belongs. We stop wrestling it with in our own strength, and we wrestle in the strength that Jesus Christ has given us. We break Satan's chain of command. Demons can't do nothing with that. I could imagine the running of Satan saying, "Hey, I don't know what to do." And Satan's like, "I don't know what to do either. Go back and try again. I don't understand these Christians that just keep on pressing on. He should or she should have gave up a long time ago. But I don't get it." See, he cannot get the things of God. He is darkness. Even though he is highly structural, highly intelligent, by our standards, he is not God. He wanted to be God. That didn't work out for him. Our God is more powerful. Our God is all-knowing. He will break those chains around you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to get into your word. Lord, I pray whatever we may be wrestling with today, whatever chains that we have allowed Satan to wrap around our minds, we pray in your holy name to be broken, to be shattered. Knowledge is power. The knowledge of God's word is power. We hear God's word and we apply it to our lives. This application is so powerful. We do not let those around us have control over our lives. Yes, we need to keep them in our prayers. For they are being controlled by Satan. He has his hands on them. We need to pray for their guidance, their direction. But we should not let them have that power over us. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against them. For we are, there is that spiritual order, that demonic order that's being controlled there. And we know that Satan is a lion and he will roar and he will growl, but he can do nothing with God. God will snap that lion into pieces. And we know Satan is a thief and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But what you tell us in John 10:10, you have came to give us life and give it more abundantly. And what you're meaning is we have that power through your name to overcome the things around us and to overcome the darkness that is trying to surround us. And we have that power to persevere to the very end. And we keep these people in our prayer, but we do not let them have that control over our lives. No. For that will bring us bitterness and anger. We'll let that darkness seep and infect our heart, infect our mind, damper our light. And that ministry that you have placed for us, starts to fade a little bit. Stops losing its joy because we are letting that darkness in. God, I pray this wake up. This is a wake up call to whoever hears this that can say, hey, oh, whoa, wait a minute. I'm letting this happen. And I ain't going to. Devil, get out of my house. Devil, get out of my mind. Oh, let the Holy Spirit flood you, brother and sister. Let's desire to abide deeper. Let's plant our roots closer to that ultimate source of water, that living water. Let our root system grow so deep. Whatever comes our way, it doesn't faze us, for we know where our strength comes from. It comes from the Almighty God. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, this website, I need to try to upgrade it a little bit more, but for all purposes, there's an email here, so you can email me. If you can't get through on Facebook, which Facebook is blocking more and more, and it will just continue to the end. This website is a good place to go, and you can email me through this website. Also, if through emails, and we can converse that way. I get to know. I just don't give people my cell phone numbers, just because. But as long as Facebook's still working. And I'm still able to put it out there. You can definitely message me through Facebook. If you want to be add on to Facebook, you just simply have to, when you send a message, mention this website, Wake Up America Church Ministries, on it. I get quite a few friends requests. I just don't put people on my Facebook page. Sorry, it don't happen that way. I'm very guarded on who I put on there. Probably be a few private messages back and forth talking about salvation and stuff like that. And if you don't want to talk about that, then you really don't need to be on my Facebook page. If you do message me, I don't use my Twitter account much, and Instagram I rarely use, but I do have those. And you can try to reach out to me. I think I might check them once a week, or yeah, maybe once a week. All right, y'all have a good rest of your day. If you're listening to this at night, and if it's your weekend, keep pressing on. If it's your week, work day, or just week, tell someone about Jesus. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of whatever it is, day or night or weekend or week. Bye.